Hello, I'm Jonathan Fitzgordon, the creator of Core Walking Program and the host for the Be Your Own Healer Telesummit. It has been a real pleasure for me to host this event, and now that the interviews are done, I thought I would make a final podcast that is just me sharing some of my story and to talk about what it was like to get on the road to becoming my own healer. I came to yoga fairly late in life. I grew up in Brooklyn and fairly active childhood, no organized sports or competitive sports, but I ran around a lot and had fantasies of being a good athlete, but that really wasn't in the cards for me. Didn't get a lot of instruction in anything. Played a bit of everything, but not so great, which I had no problem with. Became a carpenter and a waiter as I became an adult and was kind of just wandering through life, and one day ran into a friend of mine. I was actually rollerblading at the time, so it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything, but I ran into a friend of mine who looked really good, and I said, hey, what are you up to? To which he said, yoga, and I said, all right, I'll be there tomorrow, and that was really the start. I had done yoga a little bit when I was a young boy, around 7 years old. My mother made me do it downstairs at a cultural center in Canarsie while she would go upstairs and take the adult class. So I had some exposure to it, and I actually think that exposure to it stayed with me. And so when I met my friend on the street, it was not a big leap for me to say, I'm going to check this out. And it was immediate. I took my first class, and I pretty much started going every day immediately. And that was 1995. So I was 32, and when I started taking yoga and got right into it, and I did an Ashtanga practice, Ashtanga Vinyasa, which I just loved and love to this day. But when I started this practice, there wasn't a lot of alignment information taught in the practice, and it took a couple of years. You know, I'm very, very open, very loose hips, loose joints, long muscles, not a ton of tone, not a ton of strength at the time. And took a couple of years for it to start going bad, but my knees started hurting pretty badly every class, and then they started hurting after class. And I actually had a particular injury. I was playing softball one day off of Houston Street in the Lower East Side, and playing third base, ball hit to me, fielded it on a backhand, went to plant and twist to throw over to first, and I planted, but I did not twist. The foot stayed when the knee turned, and there was a major pop inside of my knee, an explosion. Led me to an orthopedist office, led me to my first knee surgery, which was a repair. They repaired the entire mooring. The entire meniscus had come off of its mooring and actually sewed it back on. And that was the first of actually three knee surgeries I underwent, two on the left knee, one on the right. And I just kept going back to class. I would get injured. I would go to physical therapy, and I'd get back on the mat and keep doing Ashtanga and get hurt again. And then I had a big moment where I met a teacher who was watching me practice and knew my story and looked at me and said, what are you going to do to prevent a fourth surgery? And that was my light bulb moment, because I had to look honestly and say, wow, I'm doing nothing. I am coming back onto the mat with the same exact patterns that I got to the mat with, and that's why I keep getting injured. And that was it. That it all changed for me at that moment. I had to take a step back, and I had to say, I'm either going to give up yoga or figure it out. And interestingly, many years earlier, I had a theater company, and I used to run every morning. It was the only time that I became a runner, and I had gotten up to about 3 miles a day before my knees started to hurt. And not having any body awareness at the time, I just stopped running. I said, all right, this hurts my knees. I couldn't figure out how to stop it hurting my knees. No one had any particular advice for me. I didn't know about any running books or anything. So I just stopped running, and I was kind of came up to the same idea of in yoga. Am I going to keep doing yoga and keep getting hurt? Am I going to stop doing yoga? And then all of a sudden it came to me, wow, maybe I could learn about my body, figure out why I'm getting injured, and do what it takes to prevent injuries from keeping on happening. And that's really the kernel that led to where I am now. And where I am now is someone who teaches people to walk and uses walking to help alleviate a lot of injuries, aches and pains, chronic pain, improve athletic performance, and just create better movement patterns, which adds up to better sitting patterns, better standing patterns, which adds up to better energy through the course of the day, less injuries, and really adds up to the most important theme in my life, in my world, and in my work, which is that of aging gracefully. How are we going to, in our modern world, where technology and just so many things are conspiring against our aging process, how are we going to figure out how to age gracefully? And that's really what led me to the walking program. And in being led to learning how to walk and studying walking, I learned about the psoas muscle and started to study about this muscle called the psoas major or the iliopsoas muscle group. And the psoas is the most important muscle in the body for me. It's the main muscle of walking. It's the muscle of standing, in that when we came up to stand and the spine moved upright on top of the pelvis, it's the psoas major, along with piriformis, another muscle or two, that are really helping the spine stay aloft when employed properly, when aligned properly. And very interestingly, the psoas is the muscle of pain, the muscle of trauma. That gets way more esoteric, but the idea would be that the way the nervous system of the body works is an event happens and we process the energy of that event, and then we move on to the next event. And if that let's say that event is laughter, that's easy to process. We hear a joke, we laugh, we move on. But if that event is heavier, let's say, or more intense, or it's a fear response or a car accident, and we experience something and we don't get to relax out of it so quickly. We experience something and the fear that we're led to doesn't go away, doesn't dissipate so much. And that energy that is created, if we don't have a means to process it, it can get stuck. It can stay in the body. And again, it's an esoteric concept, but that energy is warehoused in the psoas, waiting to be released, waiting to be let go when the body is put into the proper place to be able to let go. And honestly, that's just a trip. That is what's making my work so interesting and so fascinating, is that as thinking beings, we take in our energy or trauma and we process the energy that comes into the body, and either we process it well or we do not process it well. If we process it well, we continue on and live easy lives. And if we don't process it well, the warehousing of unprocessed emotional energy can have an unbelievably debilitating effect. And one of the things it affects is your walking pattern, since it's connected to the psoas. So that learning to walk, or relearning to walk, or learning to walk correctly, can really change the body's dynamic in relation to the psoas, in relation to energetics. And so learning to walk can, in and of itself, release the psoas. Learning to walk in and of itself can help develop core strength and the core tone. Every step is a core exercise or a core event if we're moving well. And what led me ultimately to walk was, I had a yoga center back in the day, this is, about 10 years ago, in Brooklyn, and to get to sign up for class, you had to walk down a long hallway. So I started watching all of my students come walking in, and I taught a lot of dancers who have a particular posture. I taught all different kind of people, and they would bring that posture down the hallway and show me how, they didn't know I was looking at them necessarily. And then we'd start class, and they would do exactly what I told them, right? If I said, put your foot this way, if you do this with your hip, and they would really listen and do what I considered, and, presumably they agreed with me, the correct alignment of a pose. Class would end, and I would sit in the back of the room and just watch everyone leave and walk, go right back into their posture, right back into their movement patterns that I didn't think were serving them so well, and leave the building. And that really started to get me thinking about one, how to help people change movement patterns, but I realized a very interesting thing, which is that most people, myself included, I always took for granted that you go to exercise, you go to yoga or whatever you're doing to change your body, to improve your body, to create new patterns that facilitate the rest of your life, you know, that make the that you're able to use. And what I realized, and it really took me quite a long time to realize it, is that we actually tend to foster the patterns we have. We reinforce the patterns of our daily life in our exercise practice or our yoga practice, that instead of actually changing, improving, and adjusting our patterns, we're reinforcing them, exercising with exactly the same patterns. So if those patterns aren't good, it's very easy for your exercise to actually make you worse or not deal with or not help your pain and injury. So I started really studying walking. I was reading a lot about Rolfing, about Alexander Technique and Feldenkrais practices. I love these practices. I think they're really amazing. But one of the things about them is I felt that I took lessons in all of them, and I felt that they were very esoteric and very subtle, and which is great. They made me think to accomplish what they were asking of me. But I definitely felt that it is a big old world out there that isn't always ready for the subtle and isn't always ready for the esoteric. And I felt that in teaching people to walk, I was going to create a very simple, obvious program, right? So I am not trying to be subtle in my teaching. I'm just saying obvious big things like stick your butt out, lean forward, relax your butt, breathe fully, and using these simple cues to facilitate major changes to the body, to posture, to walking patterns. That was a really important thing for me in trying to develop the program. It's obvious and easy that if you're a yoga teacher, you're teaching to a particular audience that is interested in the subtlety or interested in the nuance. But when it comes to pain relief and even just quality of life, there's a big old world out there with a lot of people that don't necessarily, they can't handle the esoteric or the subtle. So I set out very specifically to make a fairly simple an obvious program that would be fairly easy to make the changes. And I want to teach anatomy to people. I want to teach people how their body works in a simple way, because I think if you know how your body works, you're much more likely to employ it correctly. And it's pretty much as simple as that. As I learned about trauma and the psoas, I developed a workshop that I really love called the Psoas Release Party. And the Psoas Release Party is a four-hour workshop, 3 or 4 hours, which is a long lecture on the psoas followed by a couple of hours of release exercises, which are really profound. And I'm really excited that we're going to be offering that as a DVD in the next couple of months. We're just finishing up editing on that. And the Psoas Release Party is, again, release work is very subtle. It's not very active, but it can have extremely profound effects on pain of all sort, emotional pain, physical pain, blunt force trauma pain, just all different sorts of ways that the body can get locked up and hold on to things and not let go or not process energy. So it's a great way of releasing that. And we'll be releasing that DVD pretty soon. Currently we have my walking program, and my walking program I developed, it's 5 DVDs, 5 walking lessons. And the lessons for me are, they're walking lessons and they're anatomy lessons and they are exercises. So there's 3 points, there's 3 pieces to the walking program: anatomy, exercise, and movement. And I felt that if I wanted to teach simple anatomy to people to help them learn how they're going to move better. And I designed this program. I live in New York. I teach in New York. And in New York, there's a practitioner on every corner. There is someone to help you everywhere, be it chiropractor, massage, Rolfing, yoga, every possible practice is out there. But if you live in the middle of nowhere, if you're out not too close to a big city, you don't necessarily have access to the kind of work you might have available to you in a big city. And that was really one of the driving forces behind creating the walking program as I did. And the DVDs are really excellent. They're filled with great information. But I also realized that it's not always so easy for people to learn from DVDs, myself included. Lord knows I have bought a lot of DVDs. I still use some of them. I think they're really great. But I wanted to make a more personal program for people. I really wanted to help people in a more specific way, in a more personal way. And to that end, we offer a video analysis. So if you buy my program, you take a video of yourself walking, and you send me that video, and I mark it up and tell you exactly what is wrong with your walk and your movement patterns, and we work together to bring you more in line with what I think is a natural and healthful and healthier movement pattern, which can serve us for the rest of our life. Again, aging gracefully being the main theme of my life and my work. Another main theme for me is just inquiry and curiosity. I have lived a life of learning from the very start. I just wanted to learn, and then I just at a certain point chose to learn about my body. I went for a long time learning about carpentry, learning about art, learning about photography, and then at one point I took a step back and I said, you know what, time to learn about my body, how my body works. And it was a very natural thing for me to get involved in this kind of work, because when it comes to inquiry and curiosity, the body is an endless supply of joy and confusion and understanding and learning, and it's very exciting and a mystery, a beautiful, wonderful mystery. But I felt, as I started to learn this stuff, that the more we know about ourselves, the easier it is to heal. Simple as that. If you understand your body, if you know how your body works, it is much more likely that you can heal from whatever injury. And if you understand the emotional nature of your pain and suffering, it is much more, the facility for healing will be much greater. And that is what I'm trying to offer people, a program where you get to know yourself physically. Hopefully, in getting to know yourself physically, you change the way you move. And in changing the way you move, you can release emotional blockages. You can heal chronic pain and injury. You can feel better. You can have more energy. You can get better sleep at night. And it's all part and parcel of getting to know yourself and changing the way you walk, sit, and stand. When you get this email for this podcast that I'm finishing up right now, you're also going to get another podcast, which is a very short 10-minute core routine. It's an essential core routine that covers what I call the holy trinity of muscle groups that support your psoas muscle: the inner thighs, the pelvic floor, and the abdominals. And so that short routine is just a gift to you from us. I know a lot of people have had a lot of excellent success using this routine to build the muscles in the core that will support changing their movement patterns. And it's been just an amazing experience for me. I interviewed these 15 amazing practitioners, learned so much, and just had so much fun doing it. So I want to thank all of the people that were involved in the interviews. I want to thank all of the people that signed up and listened. And have a great day.